Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter number 2 tonight. 1 John chapter number 2. I'm thankful that we have a pastor who wants to teach about contemporary issues, issues that we are facing as Christians every single day. And as I look through the list of the different speakers and the different topics, I did feel like I got one of the easier ones. Brother Chapel preaching on abortion last Sunday night, and I think Dr. Getch is going to be teaching on homosexuality later on this summer. Brother Rule speaking about drug use, and I felt like I got one of the simpler ones, and so I'm thankful for that. Hopefully I won't mess anything up tonight. But as I studied this topic of media, I realized that this is actually a huge issue in many of our lives. It's something that we come across and we deal with every single day, and so I really feel like the Bible has some great principles for us tonight to help us use media as a tool in a way that would glorify God. And so in 1 John chapter number 2, we'll start reading at verse number 14 in just a few moments. Before we read our passage, I wanted to show you kind of an introductory video that I had seen. Now, this is a video that we did not produce ourselves. This is actually a commercial. It's a commercial by Nature Valley. I'm not a really big granola bar guy, but I really like this commercial because it really kind of introduces the topic we're going to be talking about. And so let's watch that, just a few minutes of this introduction here.
When you were a kid, what did you do for fun?
So we'd go blueberry picking, for instance. That's so cute. But it was true.
We grew watermelons, plantains.
I found an old sign, which was big enough for me to sit on. It made a great toboggan. It was very slick and very fast.
I had a few fish in my basket, and I looked up on this bluff, and here's this black bear sitting there watching me. If he starts chasing me, I'm going to keep throwing the fish out of my basket until he's gorged and he won't bother me.
And what did you like to do for fun?
You know, you go door to door, get a group of kids, and you play lots of games, hide and seek, just going out to the field and playing baseball.
And we build these massive forts, you know, the kind that you can actually sit in and play in, you know, with our friends, and it was just really wonderful.
So what do you like to do for fun?
Video games, definitely.
I like to go on my phone,
text. Some email.
My favorite thing to do in the world is definitely watching videos and playing video games. Those take up so much of my time.
3 hours, or 3 to 4 hours a day.
Same.
5 hours straight.
Just last week, I watched 23 episodes of a TV series in less than 4 days.
I forget. I'm in a house, I have parents, I have a sister, I have a dog, I just think I'm in the video game, I completely get lost.
I would die if I don't have my tablet.
Whenever I feel upset, I'd play video games and I'd feel normal. It's really wonderful.
When your daughters grow up, your great-great-grandkids, what do you think will happen if this trend continues?
It's scary to think that they'll never have to leave the house.
Cindy grew up doing a lot of the things that I did and enjoyed, and I see what my grandsons are doing today, and it's mind-boggling.
By the time they have kids, it's going to be a really different environment.
I actually feel a little sad because I feel like he's missing out on what's out there in the beautiful world.
Now, obviously, this is an issue that faces the next generation. As a children's pastor, I deal with this issue quite a bit. But let me give you a warning before we get into the message tonight. This is not just an issue for children. This is an issue that faces every generation in our church, every generation in our society. And so really my desire tonight is not only to help parents understand what some of the warning signs of abuse for technology would be, or not only help parents to instill some principles in the home, but really just personal principles as well. The media has destroyed not only homes, but has destroyed marriages and has destroyed entire lives if we use it the wrong way. And so we want to make sure that we're not just approaching this as a kid's problem, but that we're approaching this for all of us as well. So with that said, let's get into 1 John chapter 2, and the Bible gives us some great principles about media use. Verse number 14, I have written unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given to us tonight to come into your house. Lord, I pray that you would please be with our pastor and his wife while they're gone, and I pray you'd be with them and give them strength and rest. Lord, I pray as we delve into your word tonight that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would help us to realize what a monster media has become, and I pray that you'd help us to instill some principles from your word into our lives so that we cannot be devoured by this media monster. Lord, I pray that you would use us in a great way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The first science fiction book that was ever published was published in 1818 by the author Mary Shelley. You could probably guess the name of the book. The name of it was Frankenstein. And in 1818, she published a book that was about a doctor, a mad scientist named Dr. Victor Frankenstein, who created a terrifying monster that killed and destroyed everything in its path. Now, this monster has become known as Frankenstein throughout time, but yet in Shelley's book, this was not the name of the monster. She never gave the monster a name. She called it a monster, a creature, a fiend. She referred to it as it and not by any other personal pronouns. And throughout history, since this book has been written and through the movie that has become popular throughout the 1930s, we see that many people confuse the name of Frankenstein with the monster and not with the doctor. Author's Digest in even 1908 said, "It is strange to note how well nigh universally the term Frankenstein is misused, even by intelligent people, as describing some hideous monster." Now, there's much confusion when it comes to this story and even the name of the monster, but tonight I'd like to realize that the truth of this story and the truth of the title of this monster is that the real monster was the doctor. In this story, the real monster was this mad scientist who created this other monster. You see, he had given life to the monster. He had created the monster. He was responsible for the outcomes of his decisions. And as we think about media tonight, we all would realize and we all would agree that media is a monster. We could go through many statistics tonight about the internet, and we could talk about media. The internet is spread across 45% of the world in 2019. 3.5 billion people use the internet. 288 million more people were added in 2019. The average consumer owns 3 connected devices. 73% of consumers list their smartphone as their primary device. 26.6 billion devices are connected to the internet in 2019, adding 328 million devices every single month. Now get this, every second that we breathe, there is 7,500 tweets that are posted, 1,394 Instagram photos uploaded, over 2 million emails sent, 119,000 YouTube videos are viewed, and every second, Americans send 69,000 texts. Now, that is over 6 billion texts in one day. Now, globally, 23 billion texts are sent every day, and 8.3 trillion texts are sent every single year. I think we can all understand tonight that media is a monster, and with this massive expansion in our world, it also brings destruction. It has devoured homes. It has ruined marriages. It has ruined relationships, and it is now ruining the next generation, but we need to take a step back from the monster, because the real monsters are listed here in 1 John chapter 2. Media is not the real monster tonight. There are a few doctors, a few spiritual mad scientists that are behind this monster and they fuel this monster in our lives. Now, very quickly, just by way of introduction, some introductory thoughts tonight. Number one, media is not in and of itself evil. We have to understand that media is simply a tool. Media can be used for evil and media can be used for good. Number two, media has seeped into almost every aspect of our lives. We just listed all the statistics that prove how media has seeped into our lives. And so if we understand that media is not in and of itself evil, it's just a tool, and then we understand that media has seeped into every aspect of our lives as Americans, we also need to realize that the evil content has become more available than it ever has before. Media is not evil in and of itself, but media allows evil content to be accessed and become more available than it ever was before in our world. You see, many times if someone wanted to access something evil or view inappropriate or sinful material, they would have to go somewhere, or they would have to participate in something themselves. But now they can just view it on their phone. They can just view it through their devices. We have to understand that media is something that shows what is in our heart. Now, I have my phone with me here, and my phone is really a window to what is in my heart. For instance, I have a picture of my wife on my phone, all right? That's usually a pretty good thing if you're married, right? I have this picture on my phone of my wife, and because I love my wife, because my wife is in my heart. And this phone, this device is not inherently evil. It really is just a mirror to what's inside your heart. When you're looking at different things on your phone, when you're communicating with different people, when you're viewing content or using social media, it's not that the phone is bad. It's not that the media is even bad. It's that your heart is bad. It's that it is a mirror. It is a window to what is in our hearts. Now, the question is tonight, have you tamed the media monster? And the only way that we can tame the media monster is to understand the doctors or the mad scientists who are giving life to the monster in our hearts. And very quickly tonight, let's look at three of those spiritual mad scientists that are fueling the sinful media that we may be struggling with tonight. The first doctor I see in verse number 16 is Dr. Flesh. Dr. Flesh. Verse number 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Now, the Bible gives us very strict commands about the flesh. 1 Peter 2, verse number 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Romans 13, 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Titus 2, 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so we must realize that though we live in a society that loves to give excuses, and though we live in a society that likes to blame other people or other events or other things in their life, we have a command as Christians to abstain from fleshly lust. We have a command as Christians to deny fleshly lust. This is not something that we need to be passive with. This is waking up every morning and actively denying the flesh, actively abstaining from these evil things that are out in the world. We must not make provision for the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 gives us the secret of how we can conquer the flesh. In verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And so Paul says, if you want to conquer the flesh, then just walk in the Spirit. Now, how many of you remember whenever your child made their first step? Man, that was an exciting day, right? I mean, the whole family's gathering around, and the little baby is just toddling and trying to put their foot out. And then finally they go, and the whole house explodes, right? He made the first step. She made her first step. And everyone's posting it on Facebook and everyone's so excited about it, right? And then fast forward a few years, and maybe now your child's a teenager. And your child just is sitting at breakfast and stands up and starts to walk. Does anyone in the house go, "Look, he's walking. Look, wow, look at, I'm gonna post on Facebook, my teenager is walking." Now, in some cases, that might be a miracle, I don't know. But it's not something that we really get excited about. Why? Because that first step is really hard in walking, right? It's a big deal. But as you grow spiritually, you can take step after step after step to walk in the Spirit, and it becomes a habit. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes something that is easy for us to do. And so the Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit. Now, just practically tonight, how can we tame the flesh in technology specifically? How can we tame this mad scientist that lives inside of our hearts? Well, very quickly, before we get into these principles that are in your handout tonight, let me just say that these are principles, they're not scripture, okay? So these principles are not to tell you whether you're a good or a bad Christian, okay? These principles aren't to tell you whether you're a good or a bad parent. All of us have standards, and I'm thankful for our pastor who has taught us that every standard that we have in our life should be linked to a biblical principle, a biblical verse. And so these are just some observations that I've made personally. These are some observations that I've researched as well. And so really, just to be as practical as I possibly can tonight, let me just give a couple suggestions on how you can tame the flesh in your technology, whether that applies to yourself or whether that applies to your family. Number one, don't give in to the pressure. Don't give in to the pressure. Now, a lot of people will say that, you know, this is just how the world is today, and this is just how kids are today. But step back for a second and remind yourself that this technology has only been around for a decade or even less in some cases. This is not something that has always been the norm. This isn't something that we should just give into when we think about fleshly technology. I read one book as I researched this subject, and the author said, "I love my tech, but I also love driving my car. I just don't think that my 8-year-old twin should be driving it yet." So tech isn't a bad thing. Media is not a bad thing. But as we think about leading children and teaching them how to use tech, you would not let your child, your 8-year-old child, take your car keys and drive down the 14. That would not be a wise thing. And so, but many times we just hand over technology to them, expecting them to know how to use it and giving them a phone or giving them access to the internet without any type of training or direction whatsoever. And so we have to realize that we can't just give into the pressure. Just because my child's friend has this or does this doesn't mean that I need to give into the pressure to do it. Number two, research apps, games, and gaming before purchasing them. Research them. Now, you might say, "Well, I'm just not a very techie person, okay? I really, to turn on the TV is a big step for me, okay? I don't know where you are with using technology, but we all have an amazing tool. It's one of the blessings of living in the 21st century. We have a tool called Google, all right? And you can search Google, and you can search anything, any type of device that your kid is begging you for, any type of game, any type of app. You can Google that and just read some of the reviews. Just read some of the descriptions of those things online and research them before you're allowing this into your child's life. Use the apps. If your child wants to, or your teenager wants to download an app, use the app first. Get to know it before you're just downloading something for them to use. Try the games. Now, you might be like, "I have no idea how to work an Xbox, and I really don't care." But if you sit down and you try it, you're going to learn some things very quickly about how there's communication going on with different people across the world on this game. That's not a good idea. You're going to learn some of the things that are going to be popping up and some of the things that you don't want your child to be exposed to. Number three, play video games with without internet access and communication. I'm amazed at how many parents don't even realize that a lot of the games that your child is playing on their iPad and on their iPhone and through Xbox and PlayStation, most of those games now are connected to the internet so that they can communicate with anyone that they possibly want to. They can play a game with someone over the internet and they can chat with them. Now, you want to leave a phone and tell your child to just text or to email or to communicate with just anyone in the world. So don't put them in front of a video game where they're going to be communicating with different people that you don't want them to communicate with. Research those games, and if they're going to play the games, unplug it from the Ethernet for a little bit if they're going to play the game. If they're going to play a game, put airplane mode on your iPad or on your iPhone to block the different communication that could be going on. Number four, play outdoor games and board games with your family, all right? This might sound a little bit old-fashioned, okay? But there's nothing better than just putting the devices away and just playing a game together or just doing something special together outdoors. Number five, leave your phones in the car on family outings. Number six, store phones in one spot during dinner and family time. Number seven, consider a family phone tablet for the kids. Just because your kid's friend has a phone doesn't mean that they need to have a phone either. And I'm amazed how many kids I have to tell in my first through fourth grade class every week to put their phones away, all right? I'm amazed by it. Now, I remember when I got my first phone, okay, and I was 16, and it was one of those flip phones. And we didn't do texting because that was way too expensive back then. My parents said, there's no way I'm paying such and such for every text that you send. So I didn't know how to text on it. It had a little camera, and that was the coolest thing. You couldn't tell what you were taking a picture of, but it was still cool to have the camera on the phone. And that's what my generation grew up with. And so we want to make sure, though, that we're not just handing devices over to children so they can access the entire world. And so just some principles to tame the flesh. This media, these devices, they fuel the flesh, and they make a lot of the issues that adults used to struggle with. Now children and teenagers are struggling with those because they're maturing at a quicker rate, and they're learning things that they shouldn't be just because they're on these devices. And so number one, the first doctor, the first mad scientist that's fueling this media is Dr. Flesh. Secondly, Dr. Eyes. All right, now I'm a children's pastor, so I have to be really basic, okay, tonight. So we have Dr. Flesh, and now we have Dr. Eyes. The Bible talks about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the eyes. Psalm 119:36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. Proverbs 23, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And so the Bible is very clear that we should abstain from the lust of the eyes, this covetousness, this desire that we have of things that we look at. And we have to understand that our devices are going to fuel that a little bit, but the real problem is the lust of the eyes that is in our hearts. Just some principles very quickly. How do we tame our eyes in technology? And this is really the broadest area in these three doctors that we're talking about tonight. So how do we tame our eyes in technology? Well, number one, no TV, phones, or internet access in kids' rooms. Use technology in high access or high traffic areas. Don't just give your child a tablet and send them to their room for them to explore. Right? That's one of the most foolish things a parent could do, is to put a TV or to put a device in their room so that they can shut the door and they can access all of these things. Now, remember, this isn't Bible right here. These are just some practical things, some principles that I'm trying to give of how to avoid a lot of the problems that we deal with technology. So number one, no TVs, phones, or internet access in a child's room. If they're going to be accessing technology, put it in a high traffic area where people can see it. Number two, block internet access with passwords. Number three, consider VidAngel, which edits Netflix and Amazon Prime. Now, as I grew up, our family had this thing that would mute our TV whenever there was wrong language that would come out of an actor's mouth. And it would mute the TV, and it would get a little frustrating because it'd be this big action scene, and then suddenly all these explosions and all this music is going on, and then suddenly, that's it, okay? And we'd sit there for a few seconds, and then it will go back, okay? And so that's what we used as a family. But now with Netflix and with Amazon Prime, with a lot of the streaming venues, those things don't work anymore. That used the closed captioning on all of the DVDs and all of the videos to bleep out a lot of those words. And yet that doesn't work anymore. And so there's a company called VidAngel. You can pay a few extra dollars a month that will edit Netflix and Amazon Prime for you. Number four. No YouTube searching. No YouTube searching. That's something that should apply to all of us here. Now, if you've used YouTube, you know that it'll automatically play the next video, right? And so it wants you to get addicted to it. It wants you to just keep watching the next thing that it suggests. And a lot of times if a child is watching a video on YouTube, and it could be the most innocent thing in the world, it's just gonna keep going and it's gonna keep scrolling, and that child is gonna be accessing things that you do not want them to access. And just turn YouTube off. There's so many other ways to have entertainment for kids or whatever you'd like as a family, but YouTube is just a dangerous tool because there's so much evil on YouTube that your kid can access just right away. And a lot of times it will go to some of those inappropriate videos just naturally. Number five, use PluggedIn.com for parental controls. If you're watching a movie as a family or even just as a couple, look up what's going to be on that movie before you're watching it. My wife and I, we don't have any kids in the home yet, but we still use the parental controls every time we watch a movie. We look up what is going to be on this, because I don't want to be sitting there with my wife watching a movie and all of a sudden, whoa, let's turn that off, okay? We want to know beforehand, let's stay away from this. And so use the parental controls. Again, we live in a society where you can access this right away. And so take advantage of that. Number eight, use parental controls. Covenant Eyes is a program that will give accountability to a parent or to a spouse even. And if a child or a spouse is struggling with what they're looking at on their phone, it will give a report, and that other person will know everything that they access on their phone and everything that they're doing and looking at. Circle is another Wi-Fi parental control system that you could use in your home. Custodio is an app that you could use as a parent that you can actually turn off the device from your own device. And so Brother Larry Chappell has told me about this in his home, and his girls are on the iPad and they're on it for too long, and he can just click a button on his phone and it turns it off, and they don't really know what's going on. They just know, wow, it just magically turned off, okay? And it's a great way to be able to measure a lot of the use online as well. Number nine, teach your kids and yourself the three T's. Okay, now this is something, even if you have the best Wi-Fi parental controls, even if you have the best thing out there that could block certain sites and block certain pictures from coming on your phone, there's probably going to still be something that comes up. It's just the society in which we live. And so what do we do? What do we do when something comes up on our device that is not pleasing to the Lord? Well, teach your kids and yourself the three T's. Number one, turn it off immediately. All right, now it was Bob Jones Sr. who said that it's not a sin to let the bird fly over your head, but it's a sin to let the bird make a nest in your hair. Okay? I think we can all understand that we live in a society where things are going to come up, and whenever those things come up, we need to just turn it off. Say, no, there's absolutely no way that I'm going to partake in any of that. So turn it off immediately. Number two, tell your parents or spouse immediately. All right? Don't just sit on it. Don't just meditate on it. Don't just think about what just happened. Go immediately and tell your accountability partner about this. Number three, talk about it immediately. Don't just tell them, but talk about it, okay? Go with the questions. This is more with kids, okay? But the kids might have a question about what they've seen or might not even understand a lot of things that are going on. If they have questions about it, just encourage them to talk to you about it and not their friends. Okay? They don't want them to go to school and talk to them about all the things that they've seen. You want them to talk to you. And so be approachable and teach them to turn it off, to tell someone immediately, and to talk about it if they have questions. And so we understand that there's a monster, and we understand that this monster is devouring homes, but there are some things behind it that are fueling this. And the first one is the flesh. The second one is the lust of the eyes. And then thirdly, and we'll be done tonight, the pride of life. Dr. Pride. Now, I think this is more of an issue for us adults tonight. We understand that technology oftentimes can magnify the pride of life in our hearts. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We must avoid the lust of the flesh. We must avoid the lust of the eyes. And then lastly, we must avoid the pride of life. So very quickly tonight, what are some principles on how we can avoid the pride of life? Number one, on social media, watch for overly negative posts and friends. All right. If you're always hanging out on social media, just watch out for those people who are just always complaining about life. You know why? Because it's going to affect you. All right, social media has a way of affecting our real lives, and we need to make sure that we're not just overly negative all the time. And we have to be careful, even with political things and even with things that you might agree with but just might not be worded in the kindest manner on Facebook. Then you might just want to keep scrolling and stay away from those overly negative posts and friends. Number two, examine what you share and what you retweet. All right, so think about it before you share it, before you retweet. Guess what? There might be a cuss word in the middle of that you didn't even read it fully, and now you're just retweeting it or sharing it to your whole friends. Stop for a second and think about your testimony for Christ and make sure that you're not just retweeting or sharing things that might not be appropriate. Number three, understand the temptations of virtual reality. Now, this is something that I feel like we're going to be struggling with a lot in this next generation. And I even watched a TED Talk today as I was thinking about this message, and it was talking about hologram technology, and it was talking about this virtual reality that is coming into play. And it's not coming, it's here. It just needs a few years to reach all of us. And so this virtual reality technology, we must be careful that we're not living our lives through social media. We're not living our lives through video games. We're not living our lives through this technology. And let's be careful that we're not living others' lives through that technology either. Let's be careful that we're not finding our meaning and finding our purpose in technology, but that we're finding our meaning and our purpose in Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, that we're not allowing these devices to distract us from what is really important, our families, our walk with the Lord. Don't let this technology fuel the pride of life in your heart and make you a self-centered person. Number four, a lot of times we find pride in our busyness as well. So I listed a couple of these as well. Turn your email alerts off of your phone, all right? So I know that when I'm busy and when I'm trying to get things done, if I just have bling, 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 bling going on my whole work day, my whole evening, it's just constantly alerting me, then I'm not going to get anything done. And so be careful about having a lot of alerts that are on your phone. Now, I know some might struggle with the opposite, never replying to any emails or never replying to any text messages, okay? And I know that might be a problem too. So let's find a balance here, okay? But if you're just an overly zealous person and you're just a workaholic, turn those emails off, because they're just going to distract you and they're going to keep you from the main thing. Don't check your emails on days with your family. Turn it off. Break the habit and just enjoy the time that you have with your family. And number six, watch what your kids share. If your kids are old enough to have a social media account, then watch what they're sharing. Make sure that you're observing what's going on in the communication that they have with their friends, because it's going to give you, just as we said in the introduction, it's a window to their heart. And it's going to show you maybe what you need to help them with, or maybe what they're struggling with and they just don't want to talk to you about it. Make sure that you're very, very involved with your kids' social media. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3 gives us something that helps us with social media and technology. Just very simply, and I love how the Bible is just so applicable to our day. There weren't tablets back then, there weren't smartphones, there weren't televisions, there weren't computers. None of that was going on back then, and yet the Bible gives us some great principles to help us. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If you skip down to verse 21, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." And that should be something, verses that help us through using technology, especially when we think about the pride of life in our hearts. Now, the classic book and film, The Wizard of Oz, contains some of the most memorable quotes in American culture. You could probably tell me a few of the lines from the book and the film. "There's no place like home." "Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore." This is one of my favorites. "Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking." Okay, some great lines. But my favorite line in the whole book, in the whole movie, is when Dorothy is coming back to the Wizard of Oz, and it's almost the end. And she's standing with her friends in front of this massive machine, this technology that is just so overwhelming. And Toto, the little dog, goes over to behind the curtain and he pulls this man out from behind the curtain. And the man, the wizard, says, "Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain." What an applicable line for what we're dealing with right now. Because there's a monster and it's overwhelming. And it's something that many of us might not even understand, all of the results and all of the dangers of media. But let's not listen to the lie of the devil that says, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Don't pay attention to the real problem. All right? It might not just be the phone. It might just be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that is fueling this problem. 2 Corinthians 10:4 tells us, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The question is tonight, how will you tame the media monster? Only by taming the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in every aspect of our lives.